Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. All right, today's iTunes review of the week is brought to you by C. Hayes 77. I am so happy to have found this podcast. I look forward to listening to the new episode every week. I just finished the latest episode on lifting weights and loved it. I listened to it 3 times because it's so informative. I feel like I have a trainer in my ear when I listened and a friend to chat with, along with the things I love. Fitness. Oh, thank you so much, C. Hayes. That just fills my heart so full. So anyone else has a review, please absolutely share it with me. I love this and I appreciate every single review that I get. It just melts my heart that I am sharing the information that is going to be helpful for you to make sure that health and fitness is easy for you. Hey, Magic Makers, I have a great episode here with Miss Gabby Kahn. And, you know, this is a conversation that I think for those of my listeners, my Magic Makers, you know, maybe you have a daughter, maybe you have you're an aunt, maybe you're a godmother, or there's a young woman in your life, and you start to hear her question, you know, her size. And you start to think to yourself, gosh, I don't want her to go down the same rabbit hole that I did. And you wonder, do you ignore it? Do you, you know, shame her for saying it? Like, you know, what is the right thing to do so that you don't send, you know, your little girl or your girl in your life down the same rabbit hole that we have all come to? You know, I know that for a fact that as when I was growing up, it wasn't uncommon for a family member, a friend to comment on someone's weight gain, right? Or tell you that you're getting a little husky. Hello, let's just, where the hell did the word husky come from? I can't believe I just used it. But, you know, that you're putting on weight or you're not losing the baby weight or, you know, maybe you're too skinny or, you know, just feeling that it's okay to make a comment about your size. And then, you know, little do we know that, you know, for years later, we internalize that and it becomes the story of our life, right? You know, the story that we tell ourselves that, you know, we can't lose the weight or I am husky or whatever it is that we tell ourselves. And then, you know, what happened at, you know, age 5, age 10, was still replaying that story at age 35, age 45, age 55, right? So that's why I have Gabby on the show, because she literally, that's her mission. How do you talk to your daughters about dieting? How do you make them feel okay, comfortable, and confident in the bodies that they have right now? Because there's no right size. You know, especially when you have, you know, 2 or 3 daughters or they have really good friends or family members and they're all different shapes and sizes. And how do you help your daughter, the girl in your life, feel like her size is the right size? So have a listen to today's podcast and let me know what you think. Let me know how this is sitting with you. Hey, Magic Makers. Okay, this call, I know I say it all the time, but okay, I'm going to say it again. I have been looking forward to speaking with Gabby for a really long time because I follow her stuff on Instagram and this chick is like in my head and says things that I would say. And I love when I resonate with those kind of people because those are the kind of people you need to hear. Because I don't want to be that crazy chick out there like with my picket sign that it can be different. And if you follow Gabby, I'm going to put all of her stuff in the show notes, follow her because she is the real deal. And like, this is what attracted to me. Listen to this. She goes, learn to love your body and protect your young daughters from a lifetime of harmful dieting. Whoa, mic drop, right? mic freaking drop right there, because I know many of you, you have daughters, and your daughters are either at that age where they're starting to look different. They're starting to identify with diets. They're starting to identify with size in clothing. And you're like, shit, what do I say? How do I talk to them about this? Well, guess what? That's why I got Gabby here to help you with this very thing. Gabby, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's every day you do this, that you write something on a post-it. Is it every day?
It's every other day. I write something on a post-it that will help either motivate other women or just let them know that they're okay and they're seen and they're heard and they're not alone.
Yeah. And it was those post-its that, you know, she would say some stuff and I was like, oh yeah, truth. Like, preach. And I absolutely love that, because I feel like so many of us feel alone, right? Social media is two things. Either I find people like you that I'm like, all right, girlfriend, preach on, or you see the other side where it's like, hey, look at my booty and my six pack abs.
Oh yeah. It's two extremes. And it's really hard nowadays because it's like, which extreme am I going to follow and where am I going to go? Because if you start to look at that six pack ads, then, abs, then Instagram's just going to keep showing you that.
Yes.
Or do I go the other side and I work on how to help protect my relationship with food and my daughter's relationship with food? And then I start seeing more of that kind of culture on my feed.
Yeah. And what really attracted to me is because I do have clients that, you know, they have daughters, and you grew up in diet culture. When I grew up, it was not unheard of for someone to comment about your weight. Like, oh, it looks like you're putting on a little weight. You look a little chunky. You look a little husky. I hate that word. Unless you're referring to a dog. Who came up with it? Husky. All right. Enough of my pet peeves. But like, it was okay back then to say that.
Oh yeah. It was basically a conversation point. I mean, I think nowadays it still happens too. Like, you know, it's the holiday time. Think about any holiday event you go to. When you open the door and you walk in, what is the first comment people say? You know, usually it's, you know, you look so great, or they make a comment about your body. But I think back then it was much more prevalent because that's the way you start a conversation. We thought that's the way that we compliment people. That's the way we let them know that they look good and they're worthy. But now we kind of realize that if we're complimenting people based on the way they look, then that's probably a problem. There's so much more to people than just their outside features.
Exactly. And so, you know, you, as I was reading through your bio, you talked about, like, you know, you grew up in diet culture and it started when you were 10. So how did it start for you?
Yeah. So as I always say, you know, I grew up with a mother who dieted. So it started from me, from learning from my mom. I watched her step on the scale. I have no clue what number she even saw. I watched her get upset with the scale, get off of it, and then change her behaviors after that. And even though I have no clue what number was on that scale, I started to put together the idea that I step on the scale, I get angry about a number, and now I go do something drastic to make myself feel better. And starting at the age of 10, I started to have weight challenges myself. My pediatrician was calling me out for gaining too much weight. Ugh. They were fearful back then, the idea of, you're gaining weight now, when you get your menstrual cycle, you'll never lose the weight. You'll look this way forever. And they instilled fear to create change, which is never what's supposed to happen. And most of all, I am a girl who's about to go through puberty. I'm about to grow. My weight's about to normalize, everything like that. But it was the idea of fear that my body wasn't worthy, that I need to change my body, and that I was doing something wrong. I saw my mother doing this all. I thought it was normal. My grandma's done the same thing. It's passed down from generation to generation. I say it's like this vicious mother-daughter cycle. And by the time I was 10, I was like ready to be in it. And that's what I thought was kind of my destiny.
Right. And I feel like, as you said, it's your destiny. I think so many of us think that's our destiny, right? You know, I work with women over 40. And I think so many women, because it's been, you know, I could turn on the TV right now or turn on social media right now. And it's like, when you get over 40, girlfriend. And it's like, I feel like it's a foregone conclusion, because you've told me that's the foregone conclusion. You've told me how my story is going to end before I even open the book.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. That's that diet marketing that I just can't stand, because they're telling you when you hit 40, things are just going downhill and here's what you need to do now. And it's like, no, I could be 40 and vibrant and feeling great in my body and eating all these different foods. Don't make this conclusion about me. But when the media is pushing this, it's the news channels, it's the magazines, it's your social media, you feel like this is you and this is what you have to embody. You have to be unhappy with your body and you are got to change everything now.
Right. Exactly. And I, you know, I absolutely love that, because I feel like many of us saw our parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever, struggle with some form of weight. And so, you know, that's what we just said, like, oh, when I grow up, I'm always just going to be on a diet. Like, it was just a foregone conclusion. You know, it wasn't like, when I grow up, maybe I'll be a doctor, maybe I'll be a lawyer. Like, there was never any choice other than you were going to go on some crazy diet, eating cabbage or, you know, sardines or whatever for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was younger too, the comment parents used to always say is like, love your body now because you can eat whatever you want. As soon as you're a little bit older, like, you can't eat everything you want and you're going to be on diets and you're going to be having to fit into certain sizes and you're going to be so unhappy. So it's that idea, as you're saying, like, we instill this idea that as you get older, your destiny is you diet. Your destiny is you're unhappy with your body and you constantly have to fix it. Not the idea of you could be a lawyer or you could go be this really amazing person who has this really great career separate from their dieting or their unhealthy relationship with food in their body. Your life doesn't have to center around that. What I really try to get across is there's so much more to life than obsessing over every inch of your body and obsessing over every food that you eat.
Right. So now, what was your, you know, it's funny, I've been working on this myself. Like, I always say it like my, like, ground zero, like the day that you were like, this has to come to a freaking end.
Yeah. So for me, one of the things about me is my sister and I have a really big age gap. My sister and I have a double digit age gap. We're nearly 11 and a half years apart. So she saw me during my teenage years when I was in this very unhealthy relationship with food in my body. And at one point I saw her the same way that I saw my mother do this, because we have this big age gap. I saw my sister look in the mirror and grab her stomach and say to me that she's fat. And it's like, when I say this now, I have the chills in my heart drop, because even though I am not her mother, I'm a big enough age gap from her where we do kind of have that mother-daughter bond a little bit. And I knew directly that this is that mother-daughter vicious diet cycle that's being passed down.
Right.
And this could have been my fault. And that was that moment that I learned that even as a teenager, I am being such an unhealthy example for my sister. I think she was like 3 or 4 at the time. And she's already making these comments. She's already calling herself fat. I have to change, not just for myself, but to protect her, because I refuse to let her suffer with food in her body the way I have, the way my mother has, the way my grandmother has. It ends with me.
Oh, I love that. Because you're right. And I guess, you know, I'm grateful that you saw that, because many times we don't. And we just, you know, especially as parents, like, you don't expect your kids to pick up your bad behavior.
Right. Exactly. And as you were saying, like, a lot of times we don't see it. We don't see our child looking in the bathroom as we step on the scale. We don't see them as they peek into the closet door and we're crying over our clothes or we're upset how something doesn't fit. But as I always say, they hear and they see everything. And it's those moments when you realize it, that you're like, you have to change right now, because I can't let them suffer this way. I can't let them be unhappy with food in their body.
All right. And I absolutely love that. Cause I also, you know, I'm the person who always encourages my clients that you want to have cake on your kid's birthday, right? You don't want it to be that, oh, you know, mommy is dieting and so she can't have cake with you today, or that, you know, you go on vacation and you don't go get the ice cream at the favorite ice cream place.
You're missing out on all those experiences. And as you know, we talk about too, there are memories and there are beautiful things that come from enjoying food together. There is a beautiful memory you create with your child when you enjoy the cake with them on their birthday that they remember as well. And when we take away those memories, we take away the idea that we enjoy that beautiful cake with them. Instead, they remember, my mommy this year couldn't have cake with me because she was on a low carb diet or she was unhappy in their body. And we really want to be able to live in the moment with our kids, be able to enjoy the food and not have to experience the guilt with it, because it's just so unnecessary. And it takes away from being present with your child and those beautiful memories that you create together.
Right. Now, the question I have is, so I'm listening and I'm like, I'm that mom. And I'm like, oh shit. Am I that mom? Have I been that mom? How do I, you know, start to make some changes that can, you know, show my kids that, you know, I'm starting to improve my relationship with myself, my food.
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say before I even dive into this is just to remind all the moms out there that there is no mom manual. We weren't given one. We become moms. We have no clue sometimes what we're doing. We're learning every single day. And most of all, like some of the stuff that we do, we've learned from our own parents.
Right.
So please don't ever blame yourself or feel guilty or anything like that. If you're listening right now and you notice you may be doing some of these things, this is the time where you take action and you just change your behaviors now, because that is the biggest thing that will help your kids. A few of the key things I always see to look for is, first of all, start with your language. Do you notice yourself saying good versus bad when it comes to food? Do you notice yourself labeling things like, I'm guilty if I eat an ice cream, or I'm really bad if I have a sandwich for lunch? If you notice yourself saying these things, whether it's out loud or in your head, I really challenge you to change your language instead. Change it from, I'm bad for having a sandwich, to, I'm really craving a sandwich right now. It's going to nourish me and it sounds filling. This is what I'm going to have. And another thing to always look for is your language that you use while you're getting ready or you're looking in the mirror. I want you to stop looking in the mirror and pointing out everything you hate about your body, grabbing maybe the fat by your hips or your stomach or the extra skin, and crying in your closet when you get ready. I want you to take action. I want you to get clothes that feel good on your body now, so that when you get ready, there's no stress about clothing and trying to find something that fits you. And instead of looking in the mirror and picking apart your body, I want you to take action and say things that you're grateful for or things that you appreciate about your body. Because as we spoke about before, if there are little eyes and little ears watching you, if they see you looking in the mirror and appreciating your body and really being able to look there and be grateful for what you have, then they will look that way in the mirror too. It's about making these small changes in our actions, our language and behaviors that really add up in the end and help ourselves, but also protect our children.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. That, you know, we have to start with those simple behaviors. And you gave a whole list of things. And what I want to address to many people is that you don't have to do all the things. Pick one. So it could be just starting with, you know, just going in the closet and just putting your clothes on and not having this like long dissertation with yourself about the pants.
Absolutely. And even if it's the little, you were saying exactly what you said. It's one thing. Even if it's just noticing the language in your head right now, when I'm going to eat, am I already feeling guilty? Am I already calling myself bad? Just even just trying to acknowledge that language and recognize that it's there is a huge step, because now you've identified that there is some negative diet talk going on in your head, and that's a win within itself.
Right. I love that. And so now I want to like shift that, you know, and I've seen it, you know, I have friends who, they have multiple kids. One kid, you know, has no weight issues. The other kid does. And you're just like, shit, how do I have this conversation?
It's tough. So the number one thing that I remind my clients and I remind everybody is that we cannot control the shape of the body that our child is in. It is all due to genetics. We may have one child who's in a very small body, and we may have one child who's in a very large body. The best thing you can do is not comment on it, not shame your child for it, and not feed them differently than you would for your child in a smaller body. It's, how can I nourish this child? How can I take care of this child the same way I would take care of my other child? Because we also don't know if during puberty, their body's going to change. We don't know if we got genetics from the other side of the family. These are the things that are out of our control. So my number one goal when I work with clients who have kids in different sizes, bodies, is how can we treat both kids equally and show them that both of them in their body sizes are appreciated, loved, and should be nourished the same way.
So now this, it's so funny. I always take notes on everything that says, so now I get that. So, you know, I'm making up names. So let's say Sarah and Abby, because that way, like, it's just easier when there's names down.
Absolutely.
So what do I say? You know, I've seen families that radically change everyone's nutrition. So it's not like Sarah eats one way and Abby eats a different way. They're like, you know what? We're all going to clean up our nutrition. Is that a good way to kind of approach it, but as a team spirit, team sport, if you will?
It depends. So doing things as a family is the best idea. Whenever you're trying to make a change, everyone in the family should make a change together. But you really want to dig in and see if the changes you're making are healthy changes. Are the changes you're making, are you trying to do some like clean eating trend or some diet trend as a family? Or are you trying to find ways to add more ingredients to your plate? Are you trying to find ways to add in more food groups, more nutrients and different things like that? So team approach 100%, but making sure that the goals that you're making for your family are aligned with your health goals, what you want for every member of your family in the end, and not just in a way, some diet plan or some fad diet, as we say, that right. if the whole family does it, it's going to help this one child in a larger body.
Gotcha. So, you know, so what you're saying is I'm trying to help my kid and all of a sudden we're all going keto. You're saying instead of we're all going keto, say, okay, instead of we're all going keto, let's look at what we're really eating. And maybe we're having a lot more junk than we should.
So, yeah, it's about really just diving in deep. Maybe you're not, you know, maybe your plates aren't as balanced as they could be. So now you're going to try to create really balanced plate that have fibers and carbs and protein and fat on it, rather than just like a one meal that only has one food group. So it's how can I make these changes that benefit my entire family, as you were saying?
Right. Okay. Because I've seen, you know, some of my friends, I've seen them, a client, they're like, well, you know, my family, like they don't eat this way. And, you know, part of me is like, how do we kind of sit down with our families and say, it could be because we're trying to help our kid, or it could just be like, you're trying to help me so that I can have a better relationship with my food. You know, how do you start these conversations?
I think it really starts with number one, asking for help, you know, working with a professional to kind of figure out, coming up with an action plan that you can use for your family as to how to have this conversation. And then it's having the conversation with your family. If it's about yourself and creating this healthy relationship with food in your body, let your family know this journey you're embarking. If you're working with a coach, if you're working with a dietitian, let them know that you're working with somebody to improve your relationship with food in your body. And these are some of the changes that you'd like to make as a family to better help yourself and to better help the family. The number one thing you can do is communication, because that is going to help everybody there. So that's kind of always where I begin. And it's always checking with your family. Are the changes that I'm making with you guys something that's working? Is it beneficial? How does my partner feel about this? How do my kids feel about it? Really just getting everybody involved, so it's not mom is controlling everything going on.
Right. And so I like that, because it's like, I think so many people, we have conversations in our head. And we make the assumption that if I say, let's eat healthier, either it's for me or for, you know, our whole family could benefit from it. I think many of us think that we're going to get the pushback.
Absolutely.
So we just shut up.
Yeah, no. And it's, communication is so key. That is something you need to have in your family, or really should aim for in your family, and something that you could work with someone to help implement into your family. But even if you say, you know, we want to eat healthier, what is healthier? It's really important that you define what that is for your family, because, you know, someone might think that's you putting me on a diet. Somebody else might think that means we're going low carb. You know, healthy can simply just be we're adding more nutrients to our plate. We're creating really great, more whole food plates, whatever it may be.
Yeah. And I think it's so funny, because I think as soon as someone says, I don't know, maybe they don't use these terms exactly, but like, we're going to clean up our nutrition, or we're, you know, changing our diet or whatever. As soon as someone hears that, they immediately think of like the loss, right? Like, I'm going to lose, and like the laundry list of food just starts like scrolling past them.
Absolutely. And as I would say, healthy eating isn't getting rid of food groups. Getting rid of food groups is unhealthy. You need those carbs. You need the fat. You need the protein. You need the fiber. Healthy eating is adding more food groups to the plate. How can I add more nutrients to fuel my body, to provide me with a really great source of energy and keep me going and taking care of my body? It's so funny, because healthy isn't that diet trend of healthy that we see. Healthy is really just implementing more into our life.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I always tell my clients, I was like, you know, I get it. Like, I fell into that category of like, you know, this or that, like, you know, there was no like blend. It was just like, either I'm on the wagon or I'm off the wagon. And one of the things I always try to tell my clients, that I was like, you know what if you started with just like, I'm going to challenge myself to eat a cup of vegetables today. And then everything stays the same. Just that's it. It's just a cup of vegetables or more water, or, you know, just like pick something that feels challenging but doable.
Absolutely. And it's not the all or nothing. If you end up not having as much water as you wanted to have, it's okay. I think a lot of times we get in that diet mindset of like, here are all my goals, as you were listing before. And if I don't do it, then I'm off the wagon. I'm just going to go all out and I'll start again tomorrow. It's never this all or nothing thing. It's, you know, how can I work towards these goals? And I learn from them as I go. If I have that extra cup of water, that's a really great win. If I don't, what was going on through the day that kind of made it a really hard obstacle to have that extra cup of water, and how can I learn from it too?
Yeah. And I love that because it's like, one of my favorite shows is CSI. And I love it because it's just what I think nutrition is. It's that we start with like a dead body and we're like, okay, what happened? And so it's like, that's what your food log tells you. Then it's like, you know, you go from there, like, okay, was there an event that led to this particular food on your log so that we can start to dissect how we got here so that when the situation comes again, we were like, oh, I recognize this. I know what this is.
Absolutely. And a lot of times when we look back and we talk about, you know, if I had a really rough night and I was binge eating and I was overeating and I couldn't stop myself, it's usually never about the food. It's actually usually due to something emotional that went on during the day. So how can we dive deeper? Did I get into a fight with my partner? Did I have a stressful day with my kids? Did I not get enough sleep? It's really, as you were saying, being that agent and looking in at the big picture, what is actually going on, bigger picture than the food I just ate?
Yeah. And it's, I think that's what I always try to, you know, and why I like talking to people like you is that, you know, sure, calories in, calories out, bottom line, but something drove the calories in. And sometimes something drives the calories out, depending on, you know, your mindset of, you know, I ate this, now I must negate this. So it's really focusing on the before.
Yeah, it's that whole picture that we want to look at and remembering that one bad, quote unquote, bad day, I'm doing the air fingers right now,
right,
doesn't mean that your whole life it has been bad or that you've ruined anything. We learn from everything that happens and it's tools that we put into our toolbox and we whip them out again when we have another tough day and we give ourselves grace.
Right. And I love the giving yourself grace and the toolbox. So now I want to like shift to, we've talked about, okay, what to do about you personally and how to, you know, project it in your family. We've talked about if we have, you know, children of different sizes, but now what if my daughter comes to me and says, you know, mommy, I'm fat, or mommy, I think I need to go on a diet. You know, how do we handle those scenarios?
Absolutely. So that again, to me, is we need to start with the communication. I would ask your daughter some open-ended questions. What does fat mean to you? Why are you labeling yourself with these words? You know, what do you think dieting is going to do for you? How did we come up with the idea of dieting? It's really important to understand where all this stems from before we go giving advice, because it could have been something like, I was bullied at school and somebody called me fat and said, I need to diet. It could have been, you know, I overheard something at my friend's house. The mom was saying something about weight. And it's really important that we identify what the triggers are and work on that first. Because if we go immediately to, that's fine, I'll put you on a diet, or I'll get you a nutritionist, whatever it may be, we're just putting a Band-Aid on what's going on. Mm. There's always something else deeper that we need to address. And we want our children to know that we are a safe space for them. You can communicate with me and you can get your needs heard and whatever it may be, but I don't want you running to dieting or labeling yourself as something fat or whatever it may be. I want to really dive deep and understand what is going on inside and how you're feeling.
Yeah, I absolutely love that because I think, you know, when you're caught in your own diet culture, maybe this is the wake-up call for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes we might think like, did my kid overhear that from me? Have I made comments about my, like, what if I grew up with a mother who's in a smaller body size than me? So I always thought, you know, like I'm fat, I'm fatter than her, whatever it may be. So where does this actually come from is the really important piece.
Yeah. And that, you know, I know if, as I was saying that, and I was like, if my kid ever said that to me, that would just like stop me in my tracks.
It's like, it would tear your heart. It breaks your heart and it happens. It's never your fault. Let's take the blame away from that. But it hurts because you know, your child is hurting.
Right. You know, your child's hurting. And then you kind of like, if I'm someone who's been, you know, I know I've been a victim of diet culture, then I was like, oh shit. Like now that I know they're really watching me. Like you always know your kid's watching you, but now you're like, this is pure slap me in the face evidence.
It's whenever we hear them or we see them do something that we've done, where we're like, they're watching. Now I officially have the proof in the pudding that they hear and they see everything that I do. But instead of the blame game and getting mad at yourself, what action can I take now to improve my relationship with food and in turn help my child?
Right. And so, and I see that, like, I love how you just said, like, it starts with communication. So it's like, it's asking better questions, because I've seen One of my clients is in her 50s and someone called her fat on the playground. And it's still to this day, she can't even tell you where this person is on the planet. And she remembers what I can't remember. She remembers his first and last name.
I'm sure she can even remember the clothes this person was wearing, right? Because it's just this vivid memory that we relive and we relive, and we know everything, the weather, what it looked like that day, everything that has to do with right. it, because that moment hurt us. It offended us in some way and we need to really dive into it.
Yeah. So I love the communication, because it could be really like, I'm making this name up. It could be Greg Smith on the playground called me a fatty boomalotti. And now I'm going to be like, all right, so you can be like, all right, so why do you think Greg called you fat? So like you can start to help your kid like do their own dissection of that conversation versus, oh, someone, you know, versus, oh, you want to go on a diet? Great. Here, let's start together. Let's start on Monday.
Absolutely. We never know. We could actually be, you know, pushing forward too because of our own things. So dissecting, as you were saying, going into what kind of happened on the playground, is really important to get down to the root cause. Because again, it's like, who are we giving the power? Are we giving Greg Smith this power? Or are we going to take that power back and understand my body's at any shape and size? I'm going to take care of it now, but I'm not going to make the change because Greg Smith called me a certain name on the playground.
Right. And especially if you're like, well, do you like Greg Smith? And if you're like, no, he's a jerk, then you're like, why are you giving this asshole all this credit?
Sometimes the people who make the negative comments about our body are the most insecure with themselves. And very important to remember that.
Yes. Okay. I love that. I'm going to go dive down on this because you're right. I think it's what we lash out at.
Absolutely. I mean, think about any event that you've been at. I mean, not even think about yourself. Think about other people who've made comments about you. If they make a specific comment about your stomach or your arms or whatever it may be, I always want you to go back and think that this person is so insecure in that area of their body. People always project their insecurities onto other people to make them feel better. So rather than actually being hurt by it, sometimes we can actually, you know, feel sorry for them in a sense. I'm so sorry that they're struggling so much with their body that they feel this need to kind of take it out on other people or make these negative comments about other people, because it's really unhealthy and it isn't fair to us.
Yeah. And it, you know, and it's for those of you listening, you're probably like, it's really easy from like this bird's eye view of like, you know, sitting up here and like, listen, trust me, we both have those moments that we're like, you hear things and you're like, wow. Ooh. And then you're like, whoa. I gotta like shake that off and like, start to think of it from a logical point and Absolutely. Take the emotion out of it.
It's a conversation you have in your own head. I'm a dietitian and I still get comments all the time about people making comments on my food choices. And sometimes at first, my first thought is like, I'm so embarrassed or whatever it may be. And then I remind myself that it has nothing to do with me and it's okay for me to eat this way. And I'm nourishing my body and their comments have more to do with them. Maybe they have a history of dieting. Maybe they've never had this type of food before because they've told it's been bad or whatever it may be. And that it's not about me. But my first thought isn't always the big bird's eye picture. It's sometimes that little like, oh no, first reaction. We're human. We all feel that way.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I always feel like I was at a Red Sox game. This is when you could go to Red Sox games. I was at a Red Sox game and a girl who takes my class, she was there and she saw me. I'm eating a hamburger and a beer. And she's like, oh my God, you eat hamburgers and beer? And I was like, you bet your sweet ass I do. I'm like, I'm at a Red Sox game. What am I going to do? Bring in my salad and chicken? Like,
absolutely. And that's part of the memories. You went to a Red Sox game. You had a beer and a hamburger. It was so delicious. You were there. You enjoyed it. And that's what made the memory. It wasn't that I packed my salad in a Ziploc so I could stay on my health goals for the day. It was about living in the moment and creating these beautiful memories.
Yeah. And so, you know, what the takeaway that I think for so many people is that I love how you said it's having that conversation with your kid. So maybe what if you say to, or you know, you're looking at your kid and you're like, they're not making healthy choices, you know? So maybe they could get away, you know, as we said, we could get away with just eating whatever they wanted to eat. Now it's catching up with them, right? You know, we're not as active as we have been over the last few months. We've kind of been a little bit in hibernation. And so what if we start, how can we have those conversations about food choices?
Yeah. So one of the things that kind of piggybacking what we said before a little bit, is let's model the changes ourselves. If we want our kids to be more active, can we schedule in activities where we all go for a family walk, a family hike together? If we want our kids to eat a more variety of nutrients, how can mom or whoever is in charge of mealtime create meals for the families that have those added vegetables or different things like that? So it really starts with making the changes as a whole, as we said before.
Right. So it's like you said, not making the person feel bad or feel like they're being, pointed out. Like they're like,
yeah, we never want to call out someone and be like, look, you're at this weight because you ate all this way for this period of time. This is your fault. Instead, it's how can I make changes for my family that will help promote this really healthy lifestyle? We're going to get out on walks together. I'm going to start creating really nourishing dinners that have all different food groups. I'm going to check in with my family to see ways we can incorporate more mindful eating. I'm going to pack my children with a water for school. I mean, you don't have to do all of this at once. I'm just giving ideas of ways that you can start to change your habits as a family.
Right. And so do I have the conversation? Do I sit, you know, my daughter down and say, hey, Abby, you know, what's going on, to see like why she might be putting on weight? Or do I just kind of see to see if it's a nutritional thing?
I wouldn't have the conversation unless your daughter comes to you and says something about her body, because we don't know if that conversation in a way could trigger something. Maybe she's actually feeling really good in her body, and then we brought this conversation and now she feels insecure, whatever it may be. The really important thing is that if you feel any kind of way about your daughter's body size or whatever's going on, then I actually kind of challenge you to deep think about yourself and kind of dig in there. What is going on? Why is this feeling coming up for me? Do I have any beliefs about my daughter being in a larger body size, whatever it may be?
Gotcha. So what you're saying is that, you know, sure, you're noticing it, but it could be your preconceived perceptions being kind of like pushed down. I'm the Greg in the playground.
Yeah. No, that I feel like that's a little harsh.
I could be the person who, like, you know, as we talked about, like, you remember that time your sister was pulling on her fat. Like I could be the memory that remember my mom was like, oh, well, you know, when I was 12, my mom told me I was fat, even though I probably never said anything as, you know, drastic as that. But the fact that I was like, hey, I think you're putting on a little weight. Let's work together to get it off. That could be the kind of like that flashpoint that could turn them down the path.
Yes, that is exactly it. And we remember, like, as I said, and as you said, you remember them. A lot of times we make these comments out of love. Like the comments that your mother made or that my mother made was out of protection and love for us. It was never out of shaming us or making us feel bad. So it's really important to remember that when those things come up, yes, we might mean them from a place of love, but let's also dig deeper and really see what's going on with us or our preconceived notions about people being a larger body size or whatever it may be that may affect the way that we treat our child who is in a larger size body or bring up this conversation.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right, because it's like you want to take pause of, you know, ultimately you want your kid to come to you and just say, hey, you know, I think it's time I got better eating habits.
Yeah. And it's also important to note that some kids are just in larger body sizes. We can't really control what body we're going to be in. There are some people who are in larger bodies who have a history of dieting and really trying to lose weight, but they can't because that's where their body is supposed to be. So it's really, in the end, how can I make healthy changes for my family that improve overall health? Even if it's not changing the weight, but it's changing our behaviors and our relationship with food and the overall food that we kind of take in as a family.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love how, you know, you've talked about communication, and it's communication for all of us. You know, maybe it is, you know, mom feels like I gotta buy the crap for my kids, you know, and being able to sit down and have the open communication of like, hey, you know, we all need to get healthy. Like crap isn't going to be this long-term solution for our health.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many factors that go into everything, but as you know, like we're just trying to say overall, it's how can we make changes as a family that works really well? Maybe some days we do have the goldfish snacks because that's what's accessible and that's easy and to go.
Right.
And other days we have the carrots and hummus and chips and things like that, that nourish us. And it's all about finding that beautiful balance that doesn't cause you stress, because health is your physical well-being. It's your mental well-being. It's your emotional well-being. It encompasses so much more than just the idea of like weight loss or like quote, air quotes, clean eating. I hate that term, but it's that yeah. kind of idea that there's so much more to health.
Yeah, I agree. There's healthful eating. And I'm a big fan of like, there needs to be fun foods
or oh, yeah.
life is going to suck. There needs to be a beer at a Red Sox game.
If you eliminate all those fun foods, your want for those fun foods are going to increase.
Oh.
And I can almost guarantee you, you are going to binge on all those fun foods on a Sunday and start Monday and feel really guilty about it. The way to end that binging is to add in those fun foods.
And it's so funny because it's like, as you say that, you know, how many times have you had this conversation with a client and they look at you like you just told them you were from Mars?
Oh, yeah. I had a client laugh at me on the first call when I told her that I promised her that she will stop binging when we, you know, we change her eating habits and we incorporate these fun foods. And she laughed at me. And 3 weeks later, she's crying on the call because she's gone 3 weeks without binging. Like it works. And it does, because when you stop restricting and you stop labeling yourself bad and you include all these foods, you just finally feel at peace again.
Yeah, 100%. I love everything we've said. I think it's all about one. It's like, things I preach, it's that inner dialogue. It's that communication with everyone. You know, let's not make these like kind of inside voice communications that like, if I bring this up, it's going to be bad. Cause you don't know.
You don't know. And it's okay to ask for help before you have that conversation with your family. If you want to speak to a professional, you know, how do I bring up this conversation and start this with my family? That's totally okay too. But as we said, the main goal in the end is how can I communicate with my family to create these healthy changes together?
Right. And you know, I don't think anyone will say to you, we're not changing our health. Like I would hope that your family, you know, yeah, kids are going to grumble because they're, you know, they want their like whatever yogurt or whatever that their favorite snack is. But if you show them that there is balance, I think you'll be fine.
Keep that yogurt and add in more things. Add the fruit, add a really great whole grain granola, whatever it may be. Show them that it's not one size fits all. There's a way to find balance and really just have fun with it too.
Yeah. So thank you so much for this conversation. One thing I ask everybody is what makes you feel magical?
I think honestly, what makes me feel really magical is seeing people change. Mm-hmm. It's seeing people go from this can never happen to me, I'm stuck here forever, my mom was this way, my grandma was this way, to then being like, I am free. Like capital letters, F-R-E-E. I'm free. I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with my body. I'm hanging out with my child more without thinking about food 24/7. And I know I'm protecting my child. And like, when I say that now, I get the chills because a lot of people think that this can't be their reality, but when you get to be on the outside watching this happen, it's like the most beautiful transformation you could watch. And it's really amazing to me.
Awesome. You know, and I love that because I think so many moms want to be able to, you know, I know my clients, they're like, you know, they want to be the role model for their kid. They don't want them to go through, you know, what we did, you know, and see that like the scale, you know, can make or break your day.
Absolutely. You don't have to be this way forever. You're going to feel great in your body and you're not alone. You don't have to do it alone. You're not alone. And there are so many other people who feel the same way as you right now.
Now, where can people find you?
Absolutely. So you can find me either on my website, which is methodnutrition.com. There's two D's in method, or you can find me on Instagram at gabbycon.rd. You're more than welcome to email me or message me. I respond very fast to everything and I just love connecting.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has meant so much to me. I am very appreciative of this and I've gotten like my little notebook of notes. It has been, I always take notes. I'm always like, oh my God, that's really good. It has been great. And thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.